He was a Renaissance man who understood the modern. You know, he was a man of many parts, played many roles, from teacher, lecturer, administrator, dean of theology in Rome, numerous other roles. But his mission really was to be with family and friends. He was a great listener.
And you have a story there that you feel really sums him up, that really highlights who he was.
That's right. His time in UCD, a student came one day to discuss an essay with him. And they began, and the student said, "Of course you know I'm an atheist." So Michael Paul didn't say anything, and he continued to give him feedback on the essay. And then he said, "Is it not your job to convert me?" And Michael Paul said, "I wouldn't dream of converting anyone in that tone of voice." But he says, and he continued correcting the essay. And then he said, "But if you ever want to come back, I'll talk to you about what my faith means to me." So 3 weeks later, the student did come back. And he talked about this and that, and then suddenly he just said, straight from the heart, he said, "I have been suffering from asthma from a very young age." So the whole conversation changed. He began to talk from the heart. And that's what Michael Paul could do. He could get beyond the facts. He could get beyond the surface conversation to what was happening at depth. So he went from the guy's state of he wouldn't argue with him, but he was very good at helping him to find the words for his growing pains within. Because as an asthma sufferer, as a young boy, he felt really cut off and didn't belong anywhere and got very angry with God. So Michael Paul got to the hurt, and I think, and that was the beginning of the healing.
And he was very interested in healing and the restorative power of imagination and the restorative power of belief and faith, however, in whatever form that took. As you say, he wasn't a proselytizer.
The biggest influence on his life was Cardinal Newman. And as you know, Newman was big into the imagination. He believed the heart was where it was at in terms of faith. It was your predisposition. It was your imagination. It was your perceptions. It was your inner dispositions. And it was that area of interiority that Michael Paul paid particular attention to. Not in his own life first, and then he was able to hear other people at that level as well.
And when he was talking to that young student, I mean, what did his faith mean to Michael Paul Gallagher throughout his life? Because he must have seen a huge change. He was, you know, he had been around for a long time, so he saw a huge change in the church and in faith. So what held it all together for him?
His openness. He was a man of prayer. He was a child of Vatican II. He embraced the changes of Vatican II. But not only that, his background in literature and philosophy and theology, he had studied all the modern theologians, and he had studied the contemporary philosophers, and he understood where they were coming from. You know, modernism was, God was working in modern culture for Michael Paul, and I think that's what sustained him. He was very Ignatian in that sense, that he found God in all things, and he found God particularly in modernism. He didn't react to it as something completely negative or hostile to faith. He found the positive and good developments that had happened. And as I said, he was a child of Vatican II, and he used to often quote Thomas Merton, that our greatest fear is a fear of depth. And it was the depth in Vatican II's embracing the world that Michael Paul explored nearly all his life.
And he was very interested in Pope Francis as well. I think he felt Pope Francis was going to bring about another renaissance in the church.
He was very fond of quoting all the popes in all his writings. As you know, he has numerous publications. But Pope Francis said something last week to a group in Florence that I think sums up Michael Paul. Pope Francis is supposed to have said, we're not living in an era of change, but in a change of era. Now, Michael Paul copped on to that from a very early age through his study of Karl Rahner and Bernard Lonergan and von Balthasar. They saw the significance of the changes that had happened, especially after the two world wars. And Michael Paul saw that it wasn't just the surface changes, we were living in a change of era. And I think what he meant by that, because he used to often quote Charles Taylor to me, that our age is a secular age. So it's not an age of faith. It's not an age of reason. It's not an age of emotion. It's a secular faith. And Michael Paul had a very good understanding of what that meant.
And a lot of people would find those terms contradictory, though, wouldn't they? A secular faith.
Yes, but God works from the ground up. You know, the old traditional teaching was grace builds on nature. Well, now nature was the world, and that God was working in the world and discerning the spirits. Michael Paul used to say that faith was not a lake, it was a river. So the trick really was to discern the direction of the river, to find out your own inner personal orientation, because that's where God was leading you. That's where you would find God. And that was his focus. His focus of faith was sustained through that image of the river.
And what do you think, though, he would see? I mean, we have a sort of an apocalyptic faith, you know, in groups like ISIS. So, you know, there's a resurgence. As much as there is a sort of a secular faith and maybe a more interior faith, there's also a resurgence of almost like a violent exterior medieval type of faith.
He was very conscious of fundamentalism and religion being used for wrong reasons. He's written a lot about the pitfalls of faith and a false image of God and how that can lead people astray. He was very good, and he has some very good writings on God as a superego, God as a judge, as a policeman, as an inner voice condemning you all the time. God that had very high expectations and gave you an impossible ideal to live up to. But he said, that's not the God of Revelation. That's not the God of the Gospels. The God of the Gospels is a healing God. But I think his point really was that we are all so vulnerable now in modernity has a vulnerability to it. The old certainties are gone. The catechism answers, we're now focusing on the questions more than the answers. So we have to move away from that certainty. And Michael Paul's genius, I think, was that he knew his Descartes. He knew that theology was stuck on the rock of rationalism. I think, therefore I am. Michael Paul copped on to the modern insight that I think sometimes where I am not. Now that not was the K-N-O-T. And that example of the student I gave, that's what he did in listening to that student. He loosened the knot of hurt, that made the student declare, I'm an atheist. Whereas, in fact, that was masking a deeper hurt and which led to an openness to belief.
And of course, you knew him personally. So what are you going to miss about him personally?
Oh, being able to talk to him one-to-one. I mean, we go back a long way. As a young, naive philosopher, he asked me to give a talk to students in University Hall. And the topic he gave me was culture. Now, I shudder to think of the shallowness of my reflections at that time, but a seed was sown. And only recently I've given 3 talks to different people, including the Culture Night, the Dublin Culture Night in the Pro Cathedral, on faith and culture. So we had that interest in common. We saw that the relationship between faith and culture is crucial for understanding where God is in our time. But I'll miss most of all just being able to talk to him. He was a great, he could help you find the words if you were experiencing growing pains and you were only dimly aware of what was happening yourself. He was able to help you to find the words to grow. And that's what I will miss most of all.
And of course, both of you were men who were interested in culture. He was very interested in literature. He was lecturing in literature and English in UCD, and you yourself were very interested in art and different aspects of art. In terms of literature, though, is there something, were there particular books or plays or poems that resonated with him that he felt shone through? And is there anything that you remember him by that reminds you of him and his philosophy?
Well, he taught me English literature in UCD way back. And his lectures were, I think his notes were the only notes I kept long afterwards. But he really opened up James Joyce to us. He did his doctorate on the poetry of George Herbert. So there's a real poet in him. But Shakespeare was really the pinnacle. And now that I mourn his loss and think of him, I think of that line from Shakespeare that you are now one of precious friends hid in death's dateless night.